very pleased to have Chris Warner as our speaker. For y'all who don't know Chris and Tammy and Garrett, then you're missing out. You should know them. So, great family, longtime members of, I think of y'all as being longtime members of Otter Creek. And Chris has been in, has worked for the police department, is retired from the police department, and now works with security at Lipscomb, and is going to tell us his story this morning. So, it's all yours.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One, forgive me, I talk in front of people a lot, but I'm normally talking about security or something like that, or talking about a canine or whatnot. I'm not used to talking about myself. So Paul asked me to come and tell my story. So it began in Oak Hill, 1969. I was born and raised here in Nashville. Local kid. My parents are from Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, if you know where that is. Both sides of my family are from Lawrenceburg. So my grandparents on my mother's side moved up here and actually lived right over there across the street from this building. There's a white house over there on Wilson Pike Circle. I had a typical kid's life. I spent a lot of time outside. I had an Atari as a video game. So that was way back when. But I spent a lot of time at my grandparents'. I spent probably two weekends or three weekends a month at their house because I had a very special relationship with them. My grandmother taught me how to wrap Christmas gifts. So I wrapped a lot of our Christmas gifts, but then I also, I used that skill for evil. There were times I would, around Christmas time, I would belly crawl at late at night into where the Christmas tree was, and I would take a pair of scissors and unwrap my gifts, see what they were, and then wrap them back up, and nobody had any idea. So I thanked her for that, but I also had a very special relationship with my grandfather, and that's where I learned a lot about service. He had a used car lot in Woodbine, so I would go over and I would spend Friday night, and we would get up early in the morning and go to we would go to Shoney's for the breakfast bar, and then we would go to his car lot. And that's where I saw a lot of things that he did behind the scenes. A gentleman came by who just started a pizza company. They made pizzas, and he needed a van. So my grandfather, instead of money, they paid him in pizzas. So we ate pizzas for years and years. But then he also, down the road from his car lot, there was a lady, a widow, who couldn't afford to keep her power on. And her house had seams in it, and it was cold in her house. So he delivered a heater and then paid to get her power back on, and she had no idea who it was. He did that. And then probably one of my favorite memories back... Back then, it snowed a lot here. If you're not from here, it snowed quite a bit here. So once winter came, he made sure that he had a Jeep. And back then, four-wheel drives were not very prevalent. So Saturday mornings, we would head out, and he would drive around and pull people out of ditches. And the only thing he accepted was a handshake. So that's where I started to see what it looked like to serve others. We attended Woodbine United Methodist Church in Woodbine on Nolensville Road. At that time, my spiritual journey was not apparent to me. We went to church, we didn't read the Bible a lot. We didn't talk a lot about God. So I wasn't sure about all that. But then I had a calling. I didn't. Back then I thought a calling meant that God stood in front of you and told you, this is what you're going to do. Well, that's not what happened. I had two people, he put two people in my life that to this day, I don't know their names. And if they walked in here right now, I couldn't tell you who they were. So my parents would go out to dinner a lot when probably to get away from us, my older brother, my younger brother, and myself, to get away from us. But they hired a babysitter, and the babysitter would come in. They would leave, and the babysitter would tell me, you need to get your pajamas on and get in bed. If I see you again tonight, I'm going to call the police, and they're going to arrest your parents, and you'll never see them again. And I was... And that happened more than once. So I was terrified of the police. So that went on. And so anytime if we were driving somewhere and I saw a police car, I lost my mind. Or if we saw a police officer, I lost my mind. And my parents, at the time, they couldn't figure it out. But slowly, and I don't know how they figured it out, but they figured it out. Fired her. Naturally, but then my father took me to a horse show in Ellington Ag Center in Creve Hall, and we were walking up to the bleachers, and guess who was sitting on the front row? A sergeant with the police department. So I started bawling. I was crying, and that officer, the sergeant, looked up at my father and said, "What's wrong with that boy?" So my father explained everything that happened. So he said, come here. And so my father he was holding me. He walked over and he sat him on that officer's lap, that sergeant's lap. And I was beside myself. But he let me, I started eating his popcorn. He let me have a sip of his Coke. And back then they wore 8-pointed hats. So he put his hat on me. And after that, I went home and I threw away all my fire trucks. And I started pretending to be the police. To me, that was my calling. That gave me, and I'm sorry, I've got notes here. I'm not looking on Facebook. That was my, and I didn't see it then, but looking back, I see that's what that was. So the rest of I went to John Overton High School on Franklin Road. I graduated in 1988 from there. I was also in the Boy Scouts. So I was an Eagle Scout. I am an Eagle Scout. My son's an Eagle Scout as well. I did a lot of service there. And that continued to drive that desire to serve others. My Eagle Scout project was to refurbish our fellowship hall at Woodbine, which is where we ate a lot of meals and gathered outside of the sanctuary. So we did that. And again, looking from now, back then, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. If you don't know what that is, that's the peacemaker. That's somebody who wants to please others. I wanted desperately to please my parents. And I sacrificed some things for myself. So I went to Western Kentucky University. I was on the 5-year plan there. And I was a business major. And business was not my thing. I was a business management major. I was a business finance major. I threw in a couple of more there during 5 years, but that's not what I wanted to do. But being the 9 on the Enneagram, I wanted to please others more than myself. So, and bringing home, I was literally bringing home C's and D's and maybe an F because I was studying something that I could not stand. And then I talked to, so living in Western Kentucky, I stayed at the Wesley Foundation, which is the Methodist Center on campus. And I had a campus minister there who I pretty much became my second set of parents up there. And he basically told me, you need to get your head on right. Tell your parents what you want to do. This is, you're living your life. You have to live your life for yourself and not for your parents. So sheepishly told my parents, hey, I think I want to be a police officer. Expecting them to say, no, you don't. You want to go into business just like I have. But they said, okay, well, what do we need to do to support you? So I transferred to Eastern Kentucky University. I transferred somewhere I knew absolutely nobody, which was terrifying. But once I got up there and started taking those classes that I liked to take, that I enjoyed, I started bringing home A's and one or two B's. So actually, I made the dean's list one semester, which is, for me, was like, wow. During that time, and as part of Eastern Kentucky University, the summers I came home and I worked at Opryland Theme Park, which obviously is gone, but I worked security there. So I had the brown polyester pants and the tan shirt, and I wore the state trooper hat that I looked good. I looked good. But that was my indoctrination into service through security and law enforcement. And those were some of my favorite times as a young person. Then I also, it took a year. I applied for the police academy in Nashville. That took a year to go through that entire process. And then in 1994, I started the police academy. I was still single, wasn't married. I spent 26 weeks at the police academy. I didn't live there. I lived in an apartment with some friends who was not in the police academy. So we didn't quite understand. They didn't quite understand me getting up at the crack of dawn and shaving my head. My head was a lot shorter than this. And spending late night hours polishing my boots with Q-tips. But that's what I wanted. I spent a lot of time studying, a lot of PT. People told me you need to stay in the middle. You don't volunteer for anything. Don't fall behind on the run. So I did that. I stayed right in the middle and managed to graduate from the academy. And then that's where my education started. In looking at the real world, I realized how a sheltered life that I had. Going out there, working midnights, I couldn't go in there and say, hey, I know I just started, but I want to work day shift and have Saturday and Sunday off. That isn't done, wasn't done. So I worked East Precinct on midnight shift. That was my first realization of how cruel people are and how dysfunctional some of society is. That was the realization of what the next 20 years of my life would be. This is my job. But I didn't mind that because I was there to serve. I was there to help people. And I feel like over that time, I helped a lot of people. I worked Thursday to Monday on midnights. I had Tuesdays and Wednesdays off. And that's, midnights is a whole different animal. Has anybody ever worked a midnight shift anywhere? So you know, it's a whole different culture on midnights. I slept during the day, and my neighbors would cut the grass during the day, and I would get so mad because they're waking me up. I had, right when we got married, I had flannel sheets hanging on my windows. I didn't even have curtains.
You had nothing.
I had flannel sheets hanging on my windows and a fan in the room to make noise. So that was its own culture. And then a coworker of mine, Desmond Summerall, said, "Hey, my wife works with somebody." And Suzanne was a physical therapist and happened to work with Tammy. We think y'all should meet. And I was like, okay. So we ended up meeting at Zany's, which is a comedy place downtown. James Gregory was the comedian. But that's where we met. And then we dated for...
Ever.
A little while. We dated for a little while. And we were married in 2001. So that began a different chapter of my life, of Tammy's life, and of our lives together. That year I also, as a kid, we had dogs. My mother loved dogs, which means I love dogs. So I applied, I took a physical test, fitness test, an oral interview, and then I was accepted into the canine unit. So in late 2001, right after 9/11 is when I transferred to canine. Now the training for that is 12 weeks. So I was in a training class for 12 weeks with this dog, Yago was his name, and our job eventually after we graduated was to track the most violent people in the city. Murderers, rapists, kidnappers, armed robbers, those were the people we were going after. We weren't going after DUIs and shoplifters and whatnot. So that it put a whole new spin on what my job was and what our life was like. In 2003, I was sitting for the sergeant's exam. I loved my time in canine. I had a dog that came to work with me and rode around with me 5 days a week and then came home with me. So I spent more time with that dog than I did with my family. And that was just the reality of that. And you had to know that going in, and I didn't really know that going in. But in 2003, I sat for the sergeant's exam, and I got up super early. I put on my police uniform. I looked sharp, and I was walking out the door, and I kissed her, and she said, "Hey, we're pregnant." I said, "You're telling me this right before I'm going to go sit for an exam." But nonetheless, we were super excited, obviously, that Garrett would. We had some discussions about your name. We couldn't decide on his name, but we landed on Garrett Christopher. He was born in 2004. Then that. We transitioned into another stage of life where now we have this perfect young man, and I'm working, I'm still working 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. with Tuesdays and Wednesdays off. That takes a lot. That's not just about Tammy taking care of him. It's not just about me taking care of him. That's where family comes in. That's where your people say it takes a village to raise your kids, and it takes a village to live your life. That's where all those things started coming into play. So 2005, I learned that I was getting promoted to sergeant. So we had to give up. I had to give this dog up, which was devastating to us because, or devastating to me especially, because we had had that dog with us for such a long time. And the dog was too young to retire, so I had to leave and go back to the patrol division. Tammy and Iago had what started out as a great relationship. When we would get home after working midnight, she would meet us at the door, at the back door, and she would scratch him behind the ear, and he would just sit there like this. But when she got pregnant with Garrett, she met us at the back door, and he rolled his gums up at her and growled at her because he could tell there was a change. So moving forward, she would just look out in the backyard when we get home. We were not about to open the sliding glass door anymore. And that went on. Once Garrett was born, we let Iago see him through the door. And I think he was starting to get used to seeing Garrett and maybe warming up to them, but I got promoted. So off he went to an outstanding handler, so I had no worries that he was not going to be taken care of. But that's where a life of service is not just about the person. The family is in service as well, because I missed a lot of stuff. Tammy had to do a lot of things that I should be doing because I'm there, but I'm working midnights. So in the day I'm sleeping. I would get up early and get a cup of coffee and go sit in the line at Lipscomb waiting to pick him up, and I just fall asleep. But it's not just a single person that's serving, and whether it's a fire department, police department, nursing, military, whatever it is, it's more than just that person that's serving. And it's also there's a physical. There's a physical cost at like working midnights and being and serving others. There's also a mental cost. And at that time, the police department was terrible at mental health. I saw a lot of dead bodies. I saw a lot of just horrific crimes. And the answer to me was suck it up and do your job. And that's what we did. Now, the police department has done outstanding work in the last 10, 15 years at supplying an outlet for that. Because a lot of people go to self-medication, they go to drugs, they go to alcohol. A good friend of mine, he retired, and 2 months later, he died. Because he drank himself basically to death. But the police department has done phenomenal now. And I think other agencies and other areas have done similar, have really paid more attention to mental health for their workers and whatnot. So Garrett started, we decided to take Garrett to Lipscomb. So he started Lipscomb in pre-kindergarten. He was active in soccer a little bit. He's a black belt in karate. That's where we met. That's where a family entered our life, the Swigerts. They're kind of responsible for us being here. But we met them in karate. Mason and Jacob were both in karate, and that's kind of where we met them. So About 2008, I had an opportunity to get out of patrol, transfer back to K-9. And that, again, went through a physical fitness assessment, went through an interview, and ended up transferring back to K-9. Was given another dog, Shiloh, who Shiloh was a narcotic dog. Again, going to work with me, staying home with us. But she was not a tracking dog. She liked us, but I don't know that she liked anybody else. So we all had an understanding. And she was there. She could care less if people scratched her behind the ear or anything. So we had a working relationship. It might not have been a good working relationship, but it was a working relationship. So let me find out where I was here. So around about 2010, there was another time where I was asked to serve. Actually, I wasn't asked. I was pretty much threatened to serve. We entered Cub Scouts at Lipscomb Academy, and which was a fantastic, Cub Scouting is a fantastic program. And a couple of years into that, the Cub Master came to me and said, hey, I need you to be the den leader. If you're not the den leader, then there won't be a den. So your son won't get to experience Cub Scouting one. Well, okay. Being an Eagle Scout, I thought, well, and he said it's only an hour a week, which is a lie. It's a lie. It's an hour a week per scout. So I became a den leader, and then eventually became the Cub Master of that pack for 3 years. There too, it's not about the individual person serving, it's about the family serving, because we had to be all in. Tammy, who is not a camper, and she's not a Cub Scout, but she stepped up and was the bear den leader, and then the Weeblo 1 and Weeblo 2 den leaders over a three-year period. So there too, service to young men at the time, and then service to, we marched in the Veterans Day Parade. We sold popcorn, which is terrible. Fundraising to me was terrible. So we did that, and we taking 60 boys on a camping trip. I lost a lot of sleep because I was worried about a ton of things. But that's what you do when you want to do something, when you want to serve people. So about 2015-ish, we were looking for a place, a church home. We had been to Brentwood United Methodist, we'd been to Brentwood Baptist, we had been to Methodist Church down the street where my parents had gone. And we just couldn't find that place. We wanted a place that had a great youth group. And we had no idea Otter Creek had the youth group it had. So that's where Will and Kelly brought us. They said, you need to come to Otter Creek. So we came to Otter Creek, and we were in. We saw the youth group. Garrett he jumped right in, and he had a fantastic experience. There was a time for service. And I was asked to be a counselor at junior camp, which junior camp at the time was at a Boy Scout camp. So I'm like, yeah, let's do this. So I went, really enjoyed my time there, so much so that I left a piece of me there. I actually passed a kidney stone while at church camp, which was not... Yeah, that owl is, it was not my first one, So therefore, I woke up in the middle of the night and I just started pounding water. I didn't go see one of the doctors. I just started pounding water and it happened. If not, I would have been crawling over to the doctor saying something is wrong with me. But it happened. But those were some of the best times for me as a camp counselor. So, and then in 2017, Shiloh retired. So she continued to live with us, and then we brought a third dog home, Gunner, who is, I should not have a favorite working dog, but this was my favorite, is my favorite working dog. Gunner is a lab. He is an explosive detection dog. And currently, he is probably asleep on the couch. He's retired. But we went through 12 weeks of training together. And then having a bomb dog is a whole different, it's a whole different animal. Because we spent, I spent a lot more time away from home because we worked, I worked a lot, a whole lot. We had dogs at Predators games, at Titans games, any concert that was happening, New Year's Eve, the NFL draft. I spent NFL draft, out of a 7-day period, I think I went home once for about 3 or 4 hours. I got very little sleep. But that's what I signed up for. That's what I wanted to do. I don't regret doing that. It did take away. It took some of my life away from them, and I missed a lot. But that's, looking back to my grandfather and what I did in scouting and whatnot, that's what I felt called to do and where I needed to be. So we worked all those things, and they weren't mad. They didn't say anything about it. As I was walking out the door, I got a cup of coffee, and they said, "I love you," and I would go. And then I'd come home the same way, without the coffee. But there was just so much that I missed, and that's a regret. That's a part that I regret, that I missed a lot of that. But I also tried to make that time. That's when scouting helped us do that, because I spent a lot of time with Garrett, not only in Cub Scouts, but in Boy Scouts. We went to Troop 217, which is here at First Presbyterian Church, further in on Franklin Road. I was the scoutmaster there for 2 or 3 years, and I'm currently the troop committee chair. So we keep giving. I try to keep giving of my time, because it keeps me from sitting at home and doing nothing when we're not doing something. I just think it's service to me is just ingrained in me. A friend of mine that I worked with, he said, "Hey, times are changing." And he was retiring. And I said, "How did you know it was time to retire?" He said, "You'll know." So in February and March of 2022, I knew it was time to go. I had a fantastic career, ups and downs, but I knew it was time to go. And as it so happens, there was a position at Lipscomb University. Applied for that and got the job as director of operations. So I came in to Lipscomb. It was Garrett's senior year. So I got the discount for at least 1 year. But I was over security at the university, but I was over security at the academy. So I had a unique opportunity to, I'm sure he wanted me to be with him every single minute of the day in the high school. But I had a unique opportunity to kind of walk through his senior year with him. At the same time, I'm staying back over here. I didn't want to crowd him. I did want to crowd him, but he 17, 18 years old, they don't want that. So I had a great opportunity to watch him in his senior year. So, and he continued wanting to serve through scouting. He went to a leadership course in scouting, and then he trained other boys to be leaders. And then he wanted to serve. He became student body president. So he served there. He entered the Civil Air Patrol, so which is an auxiliary of the United States Air Force. So he served there and went there. And then he was received an appointment to the United States Air Force Academy. So June of last year, we took him up there, dropped him off. Now up there, it's not, oh, hey, let's move you in, let's get you your fridge set up. He had a bag that was this big. And you pull up, he gets out the car, and you leave. That's a whole different type of letting your child go. So we had some struggles with that a little bit. But and then 2 weeks later, we got a phone call. From a cardiologist at the Air Force Academy. And he said, hey, we see something in your son's heart. So we said, okay. So we talked through all that, and we decided after they ran tests up there, they said, okay, he can't continue in the Air Force Academy. So he came back. We took him through a lot of help from doctors here and some at Lipscomb. We got him set up with a cardiologist at Vanderbilt. So determined that he had it's that big. There was a hole in his heart that big. So he had to have open heart surgery. So then, 2 weeks before his 2 weeks before his surgery, I had a stroke. I was at Lipscomb, and she fussed at me because I was driving. She said, "Pull over." So I pulled over and took me to St. Thomas. I had a hole in my heart that big. Just a pinpoint hole. We both had them our entire lives and didn't know it. But then that's where the village stepped in and surrounded us. So we are both, he's had surgery, he's fully recovered, he's at Auburn University now. Loving life. He plans to enter the Air Force ROTC at Auburn in the fall. I have fully recovered. He'll tell you his surgery was a lot worse than mine. Maybe so. But we are so thankful to be part of this. I don't know what it would have looked like to go through this and go through our lives without Otter Creek, without Lipscomb. There's just so much there that this church offers and this community offers. So I think I have run over. I continue to try to serve. I continue to teach classes and safety awareness and situational awareness. So if there's a time you want me to, and I'm sorry, I had those to talk about, but I guess I got long-winded. So if you want to have something, I'm glad to come talk about situational awareness, about scams, about social media, about a variety of things. So if that's anything you want to come back. So thank you very much.